Good morning. Today's daf in Yomus Pei Aleph. We are in Pei Amud Beis. We are starting towards the bottom of the Amud. We are just a little bit after the two dots. We are discussing the Isurim of Achil and Shtiyah on Yom Kippur. The Gemara today, a lot of drushes coming up today, or a lot of attempted drushes today, as there's a couple of missing pieces in the Torah regarding Inui. We'll discuss that a little bit later on. In the meantime, however, our first topic today is going to be Achil Agasa. We noted in the Mishnah, in the beginning of this eighth parak, that Achil and Shtiyah really serve as two different categories. In other words, even though in terms of Inui, so we'll count it as one. In other words, there are five Inuyim on Yom Kippur. That was the opening point of our parak, and Achil and Shtiyah are to be counted as one, but even though they're counted as one, but in terms of Shiurim, they're different Shiurim. For Achil, that's a Kosevis, and for Shtiyah, it's a Malo Lugmav. And yesterday, we spent a lot of time on the technicalities of the difference between between the Kosevis for Achila and the Malo Lugmav for Shtiyah. The most notable difference, of course, is that when it comes to the Kosevis, that's an objective Shiur, right. It's an amount. Now, how much is a kosevis? So go back to Dapim ago and recall that we know it's more than a kazayis, but the Amrim debate whether or not it exceeds a beitza or it's less than a beitza. Okay, but we know it's more than a kazayis. Now we know for sure. And the halacha is like Rav Zvid. We basically put it somewhere between the kazayis and the kabeitza. That's the accepted halacha. Good. And by malo lugmav, so what's the shear from malo lugmav? So it's a cheekful. So the two points that we made yesterday. One is that it's one cheekful, not two cheekfuls. And number two is that it's not objective, but rather it's subjective. It really depends on the size of your particular cheek. So if you're a huge man with a huge cheek, so your malo lugmav is going to be larger than that of a smaller person with a smaller cheek. So it is a subjective shear. Where else do we find a subjective shear? So I racked my brain. I can't think of one. Okay. There may not be another subjective shear in Kol HaTorah Kula. But when it comes to drinking on Yom Kippur, so it is a subjective shear. Why is it a subjective shear? So the Gemara asked that question yesterday and gave an answer. And that is because when it comes to Inu and Yom Kippur, so it's all about taking off the edge. Torah says, V'inisim es nafsha sech, and we have to be in a state of affliction. We have to be uncomfortable on Yom Kippur. But again, uncomfortable, like we discussed in the beginning of this perek. Uncomfortable as the Chachamim described, meaning, you know, you want to walk outside and become, you know, get really hot. That's not Inui, meaning it is uncomfortable, but that's not the technical definition of Inui. Inui is as the Chachamim describe it. But meanwhile, when it comes to drinking, so when do you take off the edge? When you have your cheek full, in other words, but your cheek, in other words, it's subjective. If you have somebody else's cheek full, so that is not going to quote unquote take off the edge. Good. That's the Gemara that we saw yesterday. We start off. Oh, and one other point that we did yesterday, and that is that something can be a liquid but still qualifies an achila. For example, the Gemara gave two examples yesterday. Salad dressing. So salad dressing that you put on your salad. So as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, so that's considered an ochel. Why? Because it's complementing the food. It's complementing the salad. It makes the salad somewhat more edible. So hopefully I'm hiding my feelings well about salad over the course of these past couple of days. But anyway, but it makes the salad somewhat more edible. So it's the Gemara says it's an ochel. It has the status of a food. And so therefore, in terms of shear, so it's going to be mistar for the shear of a kosevis. The other thing we pointed out yesterday is salt. Salt by itself is perfectly inedible. But meanwhile, you put it on meat, and it obviously really helps out the meat. So you could take a quote-unquote non-food, right? It's hard to call salt a non-food, but it's not edible in of itself. And you add it to meat, and it's going to be mitzarf. Now you get to the shear of the salt is going to be mitzarf to the shear of a kosevis. Those are the points that we made yesterday. And just as a quick summary of the gemaras that we've been seeing since the beginning of the eighth parak, we continue in today's daf. First topic of discussion today, Achil Agasa. Okay, so, and that's gorging. And eating well beyond the point where you're interested in eating. And the Gemara is going to have a couple points, three points regarding Achil Agasa. Let's go. Number one, Amri Shlakish. We are about seven lines from the bottom on Pei Amud Beis. Amri Shlakish, Ochel Achil Agasa, B'yam HaKippur and Pater. You eat Achil Agasa. So Achil Agasa is defined as basically you're no longer hungry, and yet you're eating nevertheless. Right, Rashi over here writes Achil Agasa. Look at the second line of Rashi. Shachal Leila Yom HaKippurim Al Hasova Shayasave Mesuda Shivzik Ba. So, right, this is all of us. It's a good description of every one of us. Is that before fast day? So we load up, and so now we're going into Yom Kippur, and we are stuffed. So now, before any of the food digested, so now you eat a little bit right at the beginning of Yom Kippur. Okay, it's not perfectly understandable. In other words, you're not really incentivized to do so, but that's not the point. The point is that that does not qualify as an achila. If you are stuffed and now you're eating on top of the fact that you're already stuffed, that does not qualify as achila. In fact, you're putter. My taima, asher lo su neksiv prat lamazik. So the Torah says, asher lo su, now the person who does not afflict himself, and so that means to say that he's taking off the edge. This person who is already full, and now he's eating more, he's not taking off the edge. In fact, the Gemara describes it as being a mazik. In other words, all you're doing is just damaging when you are now overeating in this to this degree. So it's not going to be a violation of Yom Kippur. Now, the word pater certainly indicates that it's not mutter to do. And aside from that, obviously, right, common sense would dictate that it's definitely not the right thing to do. But the word pater would mean that it's not mutter to do, but there's no liability if you did it. Okay, and we're going to just give other examples of this idea of achila gasa. The Gemara over here says eating truma. Okay, a non-kohen eating truma. So we know throughout Shas we learned that a non-kohen who eats truma, so he bears a liability. In other words, aside from the fact that he took something that doesn't belong to him, but the Torah says that in order to make proper reparation for the kohen, so you have to pay keren and you have to pay chomish. You have to pay the principal value of that which you ate, and on top of that you have to add a chomish. That's only in the circumstance where you're ochel truma, where the non-kohen were to eat truma. If the non-kohen did any other kind of damage to the truma, so of course you still have to make full reparation, but you don't have to add a chomish. The chomish halacha is only for achila and not for any other kinds of damages. So now we're just simply taking this idea and applying it over here. Let's say you eat the truma, but derech achila gasa, but only in a gorging manner. In other words, you're already full, and then you help yourself to the, by accident, bishogeg, and you help yourself to the truma of a kohen. So there, now you're going to be paying keren, but you're not going to be paying chomish. Why? Same reason. Ki ochel prat lamazik, because again, the chomish payment is only for eating, for achila. This is not achila. This is... it's achila gasa. Amar of Yirmi, Amar of Yochanan, Zar, Shekosi, Sa'or, Mishal, Truma, Mishal, 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 Chomish. Okay, another example of this idea. Now, this isn't exactly achila gasa, but it just simply means achila that does not have the status of eating. Let's say, says Rav Yochanan, was we now turn to the top of Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph. Let's say you chew on barley, on raw barley. So it's not toasted, it's not cooked. It's raw. It's really, it's an edible at this point in time. So, and it happens to be sorum shel truma, and it's barley of truma, of a kohen, so you pay keren, but you don't pay chomish. Why? Ki ochel prat lamazik. Because again, that's not achila. Eating something that's inedible, meaning of course it's a food, but still, it's an inedible food at this state. It hasn't been prepared, and so therefore, it's not considered achila. So once again, by virtue of the fact that it's not achila, so you're not going to be paying chomish. Obviously, again, you have to make full reparation of that which you did, but the chomish halacha is only for achila. This does not qualify as achila. Amar of Shizbi, Amar of Yochanan. I'm sorry, I said 3 points. Okay, a little bit more. So the Gemara now quotes from Rav Shizbi in the name of Rav Yochanan, Zar Shabala Shizifim. Okay, notice, by the way, that the name of the Amara is associated, connected with the halacha itself. Okay, so it happens, right? So Shizbi, Shizifi. So anyway, Shizifim are like plums. Right, at least in modern Hebrew. Okay, so anyway, so Zar Shabala Shizifim Shel Truma. So if you have a non-kohen who swallows plums, truma plums, v'hikian, and then he regurgitates them, v'achlan achir, and somebody else eats them. Okay, now obviously that's really distasteful, without right, obvious point of the day. So the Rishon Misham Karen V'chomish. So as far as the first person is concerned, so he ate the truma. He's a non-kohen. He's a Zar Shachal Truma. And he did so b'shogeg, so he has to pay keren v'chomish. That's an achila. Okay, now he regurgitated. Now the second person ate it. Now, again, that's beyond disgusting, but what we're interested in knowing right now is what's his liability. And there really are 2 points to be made over here. Number one, what's his liability? And number two, who is his liability toward? So the Gemara says, Sheni in Meshalim Ela Demei Eitzim L'Rishon Belvad. So as far as his liability is concerned, so what did he eat? So certainly not a food. Meaning the regurgitated plums are not considered achila, it's not considered a food. What are they good for? So the Gemara assumes that they're good for firewood. Okay, are they flammable? I have no idea. Let's just assume for the purpose of this discussion they are. Okay, Demei Eitzim. Right? And so basically now whatever the volume is that he ate, so we're gonna basically assess it as firewood. Okay, whatever the cost of firewood is. On top of that, who does he pay? So he doesn't pay the Kohen, but he pays the Rishon. Why? So Rashi explains over here. Because the Rishon made a kinyan, meaning the Rishon needed. Now, of course, the Rishon had no right to eat it, but that's not the point. Meaning once he ate it, so when now he himself is liable to the Kohen, so now that liability means that he has now assumed ownership of it. So now when the first person regurgitates it, the second person eats it, the second person's liability is towards the first person. Okay. So it's obviously an extraordinarily disgusting case. But the Gemara just simply wants to point out that the regurgitated food is not an achila in synchronicity with everything we've been saying up until now, meaning that eating in an abnormal fashion or a disgusting fashion is not considered eating. And on top of that, also, the second point is that the second person's liability is towards the first person because the first person made a kinyan.
If it's not considered food, right? So what is the loss to the first person that the second person should pay?
In other words, it's still an item that could be monetized, right? It has value. Okay, so when I take something away from a person and it has value, so you assess the value and you pay that value. So it has some value. Okay, again, practically speaking, it's hard to imagine that the regurgitated food is Demei Eitzim, but the Gemara says it. So, okay, I only have the Gemara to work with. No, I see what you're saying. Right, that correlation, yeah, that's a fair correlation. Meaning it's not an achila. You're right. In other words, chomish is only when it's an achila. Yom Kippur is only when it's an achila. Yeah, I think that's a fair correlation. Ha'ochel v'hashose ein mitstarfin. Okay, food and drink are not mitstarf. Man tana amrav chista b'machok shniyu v'rabbi Yeshua, he did not. So the idea that food and drink are not going to be mitstarf, so the Gemara says, well, we could put that together with the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. Now, Rabbi Yeshua is not discussing Yom Kippur at all. He's talking about combining various foods vis-a-vis Tuma, but we're going to take his concept and we're going to apply it over here. So first of all, let's introduce ourselves to his concept. Klal Amar of Yeshua. Rav Yeshua says, I have the big general rule, and that's as follows. Kol shetumasu v'shiro shava mitzarf, tumasu v'lo shiro, shiro v'lo tumasu, lo tumasu v'lo shiro, e mitzarfin. So to take items of different degrees of tumah, and to put it together in order to register for a shear for tumah, so it has to be a match. Match meaning both in terms of the degree of tumah and the size of tumah. Rashi over here says tumas v'shiras or shava. What are examples of that? The kagon shnei chatzay zaysim shnei mesim. So let's say right, it's going to be unpleasant, but again we're talking about tumah right now. So let's say we have human remains, and we have now, in order to get to a shear of a human remains, in order to be metame tumasol, so you need a kezias of human remains. So let's say you have a chatzi kezias of one mace, and another chatzi kezias of another mace. Oh, mishtei nevelos, oh, shtei chatzai adashim, mishnei shiratzim, shizman tumasam shava v'shiram shava. So now the degree of tumah is going to be on par with one another, and the size of the tumah is going to be on par with one another. So once I take these and put them together, so then we have it starfus. However, if let's say they're not a match with one another, next Rashi, tumasu v'lo shiro kagon sheretz v'nevela. So let's say you take sheretz and nevela and you put them together, shishneim tumas erev. Now, in terms of degree of tumah, they're both an avatumah, and they will make you tumah until the evening, meaning that once you come into contact with either a sheretz or a nevela, so you tovel in the mikvah and you experience erev shemesh and your tahor. So in terms of degree, they're the same. However, the shear is not the same. In other words, for nevela, it's a kezias. For sheretz, it's a dasha. So in terms of the amount, it's not the same. And we could do this the other way as well. Shira velo tumaso, meaning Rashi says mesa nevela. So when it comes to mesa nevela, so they're both kezias, but mesa, of course, is for 7 days and nevela is for 1 day. So the size is the same, but the degree is different. So then you're not going to have mitzarfus. Okay, so the basic idea behind Rabbi Yoshua is that for tumah to be mitzaref, so they have to be in the same playing field, both in terms of degree of tumah and also in terms of amount. And now, what it sounds like is that our mission over here now having nothing to do with tumah. Our mission is talking about eating on Yom Kippur, but the idea is that since eating and drinking operate with different shiurim, so therefore they're not mitzaref. So we want to take the Rabbi Yoshua concept as it relates to Tumah and basically say he's the author of our Mishnah over here regarding Yom Kippur. Okay, the Gemara says, maybe. Maybe. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Amar Afilu Tamer Rabbanan. No, somebody's arguing with Rabbi Yoshua. Now it happens to be that in the Mishnah just cited, we don't know who's arguing with Rabbi Yoshua. In other words, all the Mishnah says, what we quoted is, Klal Amar Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua has the following rule. So who's arguing with him? Doesn't say. The Gemara right now is assuming somebody's arguing with Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, but right now we don't have a Mesorah. But the Gemara assumes it, so let's assume it as well. So no, you could even be the Chachamim. Ad kan lo kamri Rabban Nahasab al-Linyan Toma Deshim Toma Chadi. So when it comes to Toma, so what we can argue is that Toma Shem Echad, that it's all really one category. Meaning, yes, of course, there are within the category of Toma, there are, of course, many subcategories, but there's one category of Toma. But over here, when it comes to Yom Kippur, the operating factor, of course, is taking off the edge, Yishuv Hadas. And it could very well be that the reason why eating and drinking are not mitzarif is because there are two different ways of removing the edge. And the Gemara points out that this discussion that we just had also took place in Eretz Yisrael as well. And the Gemara says, Reish Lakish says, b'machlokish nuya, meaning that the same debate that occurs by Tumah as occurs over here by Yom Kippur, and Rav Yeshua, did not klalam Rav Yeshua v'chulei, and then we don't have to go through the whole Mishnah again. We just went through the Mishnah just moments earlier. Rav Yochanan amar afilu teim rabban, and the Rav Yochanan says no, that don't correlate the two positions. Ad kan lo kamri rabban and hasam alalinyan tuma. When the Chachamim say that all tumas mitzarif is because tuma falls under one large umbrella. But when it comes to eating and drinking, again, it's all a function of Yishuv Hadas, and eating and the drinking does not provide the same kind of Yishuv Hadas, and that's why they are individuated. That's why they're separate. Okay. So, good. The Gemara made an attempt to correlate the halachas of Tumah and the tzirif of Tumah to our tzirif over here and eating and drinking. Do they correlate? The answer is maybe. Okay. Next, Achav Shasa Be'elam Echad, Einu Chayav Ela Chatas. Okay, so our Mishnah over here, a classic Mishnah regarding what exactly would be the liability and how many liabilities are we talking about. So if you eat and drink and you do so, Be'elam Echad, and you do so in one state of forgetting, meaning you forgot it was Yom Kippur, right? You were just simply not fully aware, alert, and you forgot it was Yom Kippur. Or, right, unlikely, but it also falls into the category of Shogeg, you forgot eating and drinking. What's also in Yom Kippur? You knew it was Yom Kippur, but you forgot about the halachas of eating and drinking. Okay, that either one of those would qualify as shogeg. So anyway, so you do so. Einu chayev ela chatas achas. So you're chayev a carbon chatas. Eating and drinking is a kares bearing iser, which means, of course, that if you do so b'shogeg, you have to bring a carbon chatas. And throughout Shas and Krisos, we spend a lot of time talking about this, and that is how many carbon chatases do you bring? So it really depends on how to categorize. So eating and drinking is one category, even though we just spent the first part of today's shiur, right? 17 minutes, almost 17 minutes today, talking about how eating and drinking are not mitzaref. Okay, so that's true. In other words, they have different shiurim. But in terms of the iser, it's the same iser. And so therefore, if you eat and drink and you do so behelam echad, you only chayav one carbon chatas. Achavasa malacha chayav shtei chataos. Now, what if you eat on Yom Kippur and you do malacha? Again, we were talking about b'shogeg, obviously, because we're talking about a carbon chatas. So let's say, so you help yourself on Yom Kippur to a nice breakfast, and then you get in the car and you drive, and again, all forgetting that it was Yom Kippur. So you're chayav now two carbon chatas, because again, that is clearly now two separate isurim. Achal ochlin shein ruim lachila v'shasa mashkin shein ruim lashesia. So let's say you eat foods that's not fit to eat, be eaten, or you drink something that's not meant to be drunk. V'shasa tzira omurias, you're drinking fish brine. So Pater, so you are going to be exempt under the circumstances at the end of today's daf, probably the beginning of tomorrow's daf, if I'm going to forecast correctly. We are going to discuss that last part of the Mishnah. Anyway, okay, we start off with the Gemara. So here we begin a really lengthy discussion in the Gemara. And what we're going to do now is that it's going to be extraordinarily technical. Now, I know I'm not doing a great job promoting the upcoming Gemara, but it's going to be a really technical discussion. But the Gemara is really struggling, or is going to struggle, regarding the fact that by Yom Kippur, there really is no clear indication in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat, right? In other words, the Torah says, "V'inisa mesnafsho sechem." You have to afflict yourself. Now, we know that if a person eats on Yom Kippur, he's subject to kares, right? We've made that point now a couple of times in this parak, eats or drinks. He's subject to kares. But what really is the struggle is that the Torah never formalizes it as an iser. Okay? We have a general rule throughout Shas, right? Ein onshin ela im kein mazirin. You can't punish until first the Torah says you can't do that. So first the Torah has to formally introduce us to a lav. And then after formally introducing us to a lav, then We could talk about punishment. But where's the lav? Where's the iser in the Torah that says don't eat? Okay, so that's the struggle, and that's what we're going to hear about for a good chunk of today's daf. Let's begin. Amri shlakish memnei malo nemra azara bi'inui. So why is there no azara by inui? So the Gemara says, mishum delo efshar. So the Gemara says it really is a technical problem. And that is that there's no way to properly formulate the iser, meaning how are you going to say, right, in other words, vi'inisem is you must afflict yourself. How do you take that phrase and put it in the negative? Okay, so the Gemara says, let's try a couple of different ways. And the Gemara is going to really struggle with this. And that's exactly the point, meaning that the Torah's got no seamless, no fluid way to present it. And that's the problem. So the Gemara tries out, if my count is correct, five different ways in which the Torah could say v'inisim in a negative. So the Gemara says, Mishum Delevshah Hecha Nechtav. So here's suggestion number one. Nechtav Rechmano Lo Yochal. So the Gemara says, well, what do you want the Torah to say? Don't eat on Yom Kippur, which is pretty reasonable. The problem is that it brings us to an incorrect conclusion. Achila b'kazayis. But we know that eating is a kazayis. Anytime the Torah says the words achal, by definition, that brings about a kazayis. And we know that the shear for Yom Kippur is not a kazayis, it's a kosevis. So the word achila, if the Torah would have used the word achila, so it would have threw us off in terms of the shear. Okay, so that is out of the question. Next one. Next of Rechmana lo si'una. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe the Torah should say lo si'una. So don't afflict. So kum achol mashma. So if that's what the Torah says, so then if I'm reading the Torah and I'm trying to follow instructions, so don't afflict. Oh, that means eat, right? Okay, good. That doesn't work. So maskav l'revoshia nichtav rechmani hishamer pen lo se'une. So well, how about the Torah say the following? And here's where it starts to really get tricky in terms of just even trying to translate what the proposed pasuk would mean. Hishamer, be careful, pen lo se'une, in the event that you don't afflict yourself. That's clear, right? Okay. So in ke nefisha lu lavi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but at that point in time now, we have so many lavim incorporated in that pasuk. Hishamer is a lav, pen is a lav, lo is a lav. And either what the Gemara means over here is that there are more lavim than what the Torah intends on saying, meaning the Torah just simply wants to give us one lav. Or maybe what the Gemara means at this point in time is it's just simply so unclear. Meaning it's negative, negative, negative. Three negatives in a row. Okay, so maskevla, rabibi barabai, nechtav rechmani, hishamer b'mitzvos inui. Okay, how about this? Maybe the Torah could say that you should be hishamer, which again is a negative prohibition, b'mitzvos inui. So the Gemara says, nah, that's not good. Why? Because imken hishamer delav lav, hishamer da'ase ase. Because we know that even though hishamer is a word that normally describes a negative prohibition, but that's hishamer delav. That's only in the context where the Torah is talking about a negative prohibition. If the Torah would say something like what we just proposed, Hishamer bim mitzvah sinui, it sounds like we're talking about something positive, meaning you must positively afflict yourself. Okay, so the Gemara says that didn't work. Maskev l'Ravashi, this is now our fifth try. Nichtov al tasur minu inui. Oh, actually, this one actually is pretty good. Don't deviate from the affliction. Okay, the Torah could have said that. Kasha, the Gemara says, you know what, that last one, maybe you're right. Now, maybe you're right. Meaning, obviously, the Torah is perfect, and the formulation of the Torah is perfect, even though the Gemara just proposed. It's a strange moment in today's daf. The Gemara just proposed. Here's what the Torah could have said, and it would have formally rolled out in Azara when it comes to Yom Kippur, and the Gemara says, yeah, maybe the Torah could have said that. Now, the Gemara basically ends the conclusion by shrugging his shoulder and saying, yeah, man, you're right, maybe could have said it that way. Obviously, the Gemara knows full well that the way the Torah formulates it is the way the Torah wants to formulate it. That's the way. That's a perfect formulation. So where do we leave off ourselves right now? A little bit awkward, like a bit of an awkward conclusion. Well, the Torah could have said it that way. Okay, you're right. The Torah could have said it that way. Okay, the Torah opted not to say it that way. Okay, so when all said and done, so we've just simply observed that there is no clear formulation in the Torah that the eating and drinking on Yom Kippur is an azara. Now again, we know it's prohibited. In fact, we know it bears kares. Where's the azhara? So right now we don't. It's not clearly articulated in the Torah. V'tan la'maisa le'mahacha. So where is it coming from? Meaning, where can we see in the Torah a clear formulation of don't eat or drink on Yom Kippur? So we are going to try on a lot of drashas now. So the first part of the discussion was, how could the Torah have expressed it? And the Gemara says it really would have been a struggle for the Torah to express it in a lav. So where is the Azara? Okay, so stay tuned. It's a little bit of heavy lifting coming up in the Gemara. So the Torah says you must afflict yourself, and the Torah says that you're not allowed to do malacha. By malacha, by the way, the Torah has no problem articulating. Don't do malacha. V'chol malacha lo sasu. But we're not asking about the malacha. We're asking about the inui. Yochli yenoshal tosefes malacha. So what about tosefes malacha? Right, a topic that's going to come up a couple times in today's daf, and that is that we have to be mosif on Yom Kippur, right? Meaning to say that we should not just stop immediately before sunset from doing malacha, but we should stop a little bit beforehand. This is what's called we normally call it Tosefes Shabbos, but right now we're talking about Yom Kippur, so we're going to call it, therefore, Tosefes Yom Kippur. So maybe there should be punishment for Tosefes Yom Kippur, meaning if you do Malacha on Yom Kippur and you do so b'mezid, we know the Enosh is Kareis. What about Tosefes Yom Kippur? So Tam Lomer, v'chol nefesh asher saaseh kamalacha, be'etzem hayom hazeh, the Torah says it has to be on Yom Kippur itself proper. Ali tzimu shol yom Enosh Kareis, ve'enon Enosh Kareis al Tosefes Malacha. Okay, so there's no Onesh for Tosefes Yom Kippur. What about Tosefes Inui? Right? Not only do you have to stop doing malacha a little bit before Yom Kippur, the same thing is true regarding Inui. You must stop eating a little bit before Yom Kippur. The Tosefes is going both on the malacha and on the Inui. Now, what if, let's say, you eat during that time? Is there an onesh? Okay, so now, in other words, again, even by Inui, the Torah says the word etzem, which means that the punishment for Inui is only on Yom Kippur proper. Okay, so there's no punishment for either malacha or for Inui during the Tosefes period. How about just an azhara? Meaning, is it a formal lav if I did malacha on those couple minutes before sunset? So tamalamar v'chol malacha lo sasu be'etzem hayom hazeh litzumo shel yom humozer v'einu mozal tosefes malacha. No, even and the tosefes, meaning there's a mitzvah of tosefes, but there's no azhara. One is not bound by a formal prohibition of the Torah during the tosefes. So yacholo yem mozal tosefes malacha v'yem mozal tosefes inui v'dinhu. How about the inui? And the Gemara says, make the following argument. Okay, so by Inui as well, it's a really simple argument. If there's no Isser Malacha by the Tosefes, and Malacha, of course, is more ubiquitous. We have Malacha not only in Yom Kippur, we have it on Shabbos, we have it on Yontif, and if there's no Isser of Malacha during Tosefes, there's certainly not going to be an Isser of Inui, which is only specific to Yom Kippur. There's no Isser of Inui during the Tosefes period as well. Okay. Aval Azhar li Inui shol Yom atzmo lo lamanu. Okay, fine. So it's a mitzvah, meaning there's a mitzvah to be mosif. It just happens
But the thing is that if the status of that of Yom Kippur as mosif, why?
Yeah. So.
Okay,
fine. So I don't have a great formulation, but in terms of what its status is, it's Yom Kippur, but without the azara and without the onesh, but it's still Yom Kippur. Okay. In other words, there's still a mitzvah to be mosif. So what that brings us now is to the following. So during the Tosefes period. So we don't have an Onesh and we don't have an Azara, not for the Malacha and not for the Inui. Okay, now, next part. Next part is going to be the struggle, which has basically been our struggle now since the Mishnah. And that is, I know the Torah is Mazir on Malacha for Yom Kippur, that part's clear. What about Inui? Where is a formal Lav in the Torah for Inui on Yom Kippur? Good, so it's going to be a struggle, the Gemara is struggling. So, Aval Azar, Inui Shol Yom Atzma, Lola Manu, Minayin. So where do I know it from that there's an azhara of Inui on Yom Kippur? So lo yomar nishma malacha degamer mi Inui. Well, here's how we could argue it. You know, the onish for malacha we can learn from Inui. Ma Inui sheino noeg b'shabbos for Yom Tov. Again, Inui is something specific to Yom Kippur. And enosh kareis, and the Torah clearly states that there is an onish of kareis for lack of Inui. So malacha sheino noeg b'shabbos for Yom Tov lo kol shekein. So when it comes to malacha, which is again That's more general. That not just limited to Yom Kippur, Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. So I for sure would have known already about the Onesh. So Lama Namar. So why does the Torah have to specifically say that there's an Onesh for Malach on Yom Kippur? Mufne. So what it's really freeing. We just freed it up. So Lahakish Ladom Imenu, Gzereshava. And now that we freed it up, we can make a Gzereshava. Namar Onesh by Inuit and Namar Onesh by Malacha. So it says punishment by Inuit, it says it by the Malacha. Ma Malacha lo Onesh, Alem Kane Hizer, Af Inuit, lo Onesh, Ela Imkain is Hizer. So now that we have this freed up Gzereshava, the freed up Gzereshava, now we're able to take the Azhara by Malacha and bring it over to Inuit. So the Gemara says, really, Ikal Mifrach. Not a compelling argument. Mali. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing also. Right? Good.
Yes.
Right. So, right, just to use a Zereshav in order to create an Isser. So the Gemara in a number of places says you're not allowed to do that. Okay. It's a good question, and I was thinking it. I don't know. So Ikla Mifrach, the Gemara says, okay, but I can ask. Malinu Shalohutra Michlalo. So Tomer Malacha Shehutra Michlala. You know that there are no exceptions for Inui. Now, I say that knowing full well that, of course, if there's Sakanas Nefashos, so you eat and you drink on Yom Kippur. But Sakanas Nefashos is not something specific to Yom Kippur. That's not a heter for eating vis-a-vis Yom Kippur. That's a heter in general, l'kol Torah kula. Meaning that if there's a question of your life being on the line, so you violate the Isurim in the Torah. Again, with three notable exceptions. But that's not something specific to Yom Kippur. As opposed to Malacha, there are Malachas on Yom Kippur that violate Malacha, specific to Yom Kippur. And of course, we're referring to all the Avoda that's done in Yom Kippur. So much of the Avoda in Yom Kippur is going to violate Malachas of Yom Kippur. But again, that's the Heter. So you can't compare Inui and Malacha. Inui, no exception. Malacha, plenty of exceptions. So Ella, so the Gemara says, okay. So we tried. It was unsuccessful. We're going to try again. Ella. Lo yomar enosh bi inui de gamar mi malacha. So the punishment by inui. So does the Torah need to tell us the punishment by inui? Nah, we can learn that from malacha. Ma malacha shushu mechala enosh karis en inui shalohutu mechala lo kol shekain. Well, if there's a punishment by you can ask the same exact question over here. Ein onshin min adin. Okay, fine. So right. Okay. Anyway, we know that there's an onish by. By Inui, so, and there's an onish by Malacha. So Lama Nemar, but the onish by Malacha, we could have extended that from Inui. So why is it there? So Mufna. So now, basically, we freed it up. So Lahakish Ladomi Menuk Zereshav, Nemar Enosh by Inui, Nemar Onish by Malacha, Ma Malacha Enosh by Hizir, Af Inui Enosh by Hizir. And now that we freed it up, so now we can make a Gzereshava, and just like there is an Onish let me go in the right order. Just like there is an Azhara and an Onish by Malacha, so too now we could use a Gzereshava to extend that over to Inui as well.
The Onish for Malacha
and
Yom Kippur is
Karas? The Onish for Malacha and Yom Kippur is Karas, yes. So the Ikla the Gemara says, now, right, if you're probably thinking about Yontav, meaning for Yontav it drops, and for Yontav it's not Karas. For Yom Tov, it's a lav. For Shabbos, it's Karis. Right. So Yom Kippur is Shabbos.
Shabbos is Misa.
Huh? Shabbos, no. The Misa, if you have Edom and Asra. If without Edom and Asra, it's Karis. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ikal Mifrach. So the Gemara says, no. You can ask. Mala Malacha, Shekeno Agus, B'Shabbos, V'Yomim Tovim, Tomer B'Inui. Sheheno Noig, B'Shabbos, V'Yomim Tovim. You're trying to compare Malacha and Inui? No, don't compare the two. Malacha is something that applies across the board. Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Yontif. Inui, something specific to Yom Kippur. Okay, so once again, it was an attempt. That didn't work. Am Ravina Haitana Etzem Gamar. So Ravina says, well, maybe it is Xereshava and using the word Etzem. So Mufna, Di'ilo Mufna, Ikla Mifrach, Hidabarchinan. Layafnuya Mufna. So the Gemara says, yeah. And this Xereshava, it's got to be really free and clear. Meaning, right, the discussion we have, the Gemara over here has a really truncated version of the discussion. Mufna mitzadecha, mufna mishneit stadim. So the Gemara says over here that it's got to be a free and clear Xereshava, because otherwise, we've noted, Inui has a kula in that it is only specific to Yom Kippur and not to any other days. Malacha, on the other hand, has a kula in that there are heter by Malacha. So without a being Xereshava mufna, so you can ask all the questions that we just asked previously. That part's true. Right now, the Gemara is just trying to figure where the Azara is for Inui. And right now it's a struggle. Okay, so and now the Gemara points out when it comes to malacha, how many psukim are there? A total of five. So right, Rashi Rashi doesn't go through each one of them. Rashi just simply says open up and Achremos and Parshas Achremos and open up Parshas Pinchas. Anyway, so ksiv b'malacha chal lazar di imama v'chal lazar di laila v'chal lanashi imama v'chal lanashi laila. So now, of the four times that the Torah prohibits malacha on Yom Kippur, so we're going to take two of them, apply one to the night, one to the day. I'm not really sure why we're separating night and day, right? Night and day, generally speaking, is one unit. Okay, but we'll take one for the night, one for the day. That'll be the azhara on the night, the azhara on the day. Then we'll take two more, one for the onish of the night, the others for the onish of the day, and that leaves one over. So v'chad le'onish delayla, v'chad le'afnu le'migmar inui mimalacha, bein diyamama bein delayla. So that leaves us one over, and that one over now is free and clear in order to create the gzeirah shava. And the gzeirah shava now says that take all the lavim that we learned by the malacha and pull it over to the inui. Okay, so basically, if somebody asked you right now a simple question, where does the Torah say don't eat and drink on Yom Kippur? So right now, right, we are about halfway through today's daf, and you can see that the Gemara really struggles in terms of finding the source, meaning we know it's Asa, we know it's an Enosh Karis, but where is the Azhara articulate in the Torah? So right now, it's a lot of efforting in terms of arriving at that conclusion. Debate Rabbi Yishmael, we're not done yet. Three lines from the bottom on Pei Aleph Amad Aleph. Tana Namar Kan Inu V'Namar Lahalan Inui. So we're going to make another Gzeirah Shava. Now, this is to Nara Hamarasa, right? It's literally left field, but in other words, we have another place in the Torah where the Torah also uses the word Inui, right? When talking about the violation of a Nara Hamarasa. Lahalan Lo Anashalim Kain Hizer. Avkan Lo Anashalim Kain Hizer. Now over there, so we know there's an Azara and we know there's an Onish. And so we'll take Onish and Azara concepts by Nara Marasa and bring it over here via Gzeirah Shava. So Rav Acha by Yaakov Armi Yalav Shabbos Ami Shabbos Breishis. So the Gemara gives a different approach, that of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. And he says that, look, we're going to basically carry it over from Shabbos. Right? Shabbos Breishis just simply means Shabbos. So Ma Lahalan Lo Anesh Alem Kein Hizr, Avkan Lo Anesh Alem Kein Hizr. Now, by Shabbos, of course, we have in the Torah both the warning of Shabbos, of not to be Mechal Shabbos, and of course also the punishment as well. We're going to carry that over to Yom Kippur. Rav Papa Amar, as now we turn to the Amud Beis, Rav Papa Amar, Hu Gufa Shabbos Ikrei. You don't have to carry Yom Kippur over to Shabbos and create a Gzeirah Shava between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, but Yom Kippur is Shabbos. In other words, it is actually described as a Shabbos. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Tish Basu, Shabbatchem. The Torah says is that you're going to treat Yom Kippur like a Shabbos, meaning that it is given the status of Shabbos. Now, once we know there's an onish by Shabbos, and since Yom Kippur is called a Shabbos, so that's going to be the Azhara by Yom Kippur. Okay, we are pretty much done. I mean, not with the daf, but we're pretty much done now, having tried to provide numerous sources in the Torah that talk about where the Azhara is found regarding Yom Kippur. So again, just as a quick summary, I'm not going to go through every argument, but basically there are two basic points that we considered. One, why doesn't the Torah just simply say don't eat and drink on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says because there's no way for the Torah to formulate that in a cogent and clear manner, with also the clear implication of the shear of eating and drinking on Yom Kippur being different than standard eating and drinking. There's no way for the Torah to do so. Okay. And then once we have established that there's no way for the Torah to do so, so where is the Azhara? The onus in the Torah is very clear. The Torah says clearly that if you violate Inui, so you're subject to Kares. But where's the Azhara? Where's the Losa say clearly articulated in the Torah? And the answer is it's not clearly articulated in the Torah. And the Gemara spent, I didn't count. I should have. But a number of different solutions or attempted solutions in terms of deducing where exactly the Azhara is. It's there. It's just a question of where it's most clearly articulated. Top of Pei Aleph Amud Beis Bishlam Rav Papa Lomar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Now, we're focusing on the last two positions, that of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov and Rav Papa. Let's quickly recap. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, it's learned via Gzeirah Shava from Shabbos. Shabbos, there's Onish and there's Azara and Onish. So too, by Yom Kippur, there's Azara and Onish. Rav Papa says, no, it's built into Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a Shabbos. The Torah calls it a Shabbos. Now, Bishlam Rapapa lo amar karev achar by Yaakov. So, as far as Rav Papa is concerned, I totally understand why he dismisses Rav Acher by Yaakov. Meaning, isn't it better to work internally and derive it internally from Yom Kippur itself rather than trying to outsource it to a different halacha? So the Gemara says, "Ela Rav Acher by Yaakov, my time alama k'Rav Papa." Yeah, but Rav Acher by Yaakov clearly rejected Rav Papa. Why did he reject Rav Papa? Because, as far as the pasuk is concerned, he needs it to teach us a different halacha, notably the following. So the Torah says, when are you going to start doing inui on the ninth day of Tishrei? That's a really unusual formulation of the Torah. You start doing inui on the ninth day of Tishrei. Ninth day of Tishrei is not Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the 10th day of Tishrei. So yachol yaschil v'yisana b'tisha. So okay, so maybe Yom Kippur starts on day 9. Not a pleasant conclusion. No, don't worry, we're not going to conclude that way. So tamalamer ba'erev. So the Torah says no, in the evening. So I ba'erev yachol mishetechshach. Okay, fine. So that means that when do I start Yom Kippur? I start at night. So tamalamer b'tisha. So the Gemara says yeah, but it says day 9. So what are we going to do? We're going to balance. So ha'ketzad maschol masana mi ba'od yom. So what we're going to do now is that we're going to start mi ba'od yom. So before the day turns from the 9th to the 10th already, as some time before that, what we call Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. I said at the beginning, we're going to mention it twice today. So this is the second time. So there's a mitzvah of Tosefes. Mikan shemosifim michol alakosh v'ein li ela b'chnisa. So now that's at the front end of Yom Kippur. So you have to add on and augment a little bit of Yom Kippur and have a little bit of day 9 encroach and basically colonize Yom Kippur. Fine. So that's only Bechnisa, so Bietzia, so Minayin. How about the end of Yom Kippur as well? Tamalom, Reme, Erev, Ad Erev. Good. So you have to add to Yom Kippur both on the front and back end. V'einli, Ela, Yom HaKippurim, Yom Im Tovim, Minayin, Tamalom, Tishbetu. So the extra word Tishbetu is also coming to make reference to Yom Tiv. So, Einli, Ela, Yom Im Tovim, Shabbos, Minayin, Tamalom, Shabbat Chem. And Shabbos as well. There's a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. HaKetza, Komakim, Shinemar, Shavos, Mosifa, Michal, Ala Kodesh. So you have the word Shavos, that means add. So that's why Rav Papa rejects, Rav Acher bar Yaakov rejects Rav Papa, because the word Shabbat Chem over here is teaching me a different halacha, notably Tosefes. We just learned together, this is it, the Gemara and Yuma, Pei Alpha Medbeis, what we just covered. So this is the source in the Torah for the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom Kippur, Tosefes Yontif, Tosefes Shabbos. So that means to say that when you go into any of these days of Kedusha, so you got to add on a little bit. Okay, we do lecht, so we do so 18 minutes before Shabbos. That's our minhag. Our minhag is to do 18 minutes before Shabbos. Spend Shabbos in Yerushalayim 40 minutes before Shabbos. They're already lighting lecht. Okay, so there's a Tosefes Shabbos, a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. The thing that is discussed often and frequently, and we're not going to discuss it, but I'll just simply bring it up, is the Rambam as an outlier. The Rambam is a really interesting outlier position. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah of Tosefes only by Yom Kippur. The Rambam does not mention Tosefes, neither by Yontif, neither by Shabbos as well. The only place in all of Mishnah Torah that Rambam talks about Tosefes is by Yom Kippur. Now, we just went through a Gemara together that says that there's a mitzvah of Tosefes by Shabbos, by Yontif, by Yom Kippur, and the Rambam only limits it to Yom Kippur. Okay, much discussed. I just scratched the surface, not even. Okay, V'tana de'etzem etzem hai betisha l'chodesh my avilei. Okay, now, you go back to some of the previous drushes that we had, notably the Bryce of Etzem Etzem, right? That was what we did on the Amud Aleph, that basically arrived at Tosefes, the mitzvah of Tosefes, but from a different source. So if you're deriving the mitzvah of Tosefes from a different source, so what do you do with the drusha that we just did? Okay, that's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara's going to have an answer. V'tana de Etzem Etzem, hai betish l'chosh my avilei. So what are you going to do with our drasha? Me by lechid d'tanya. So the Gemara says, okay, but he's got a purpose for it, and that's the following: lechid d'nichia barav mi difti, d'nichia barav mi difti. The following limud: v'iniz mesaf shoshechem b'tisha v'chi b'tisha mesanin v'lo be'esor mesanin. So what does it mean you're fasting on day 9? You're not fasting on day 9. You're fasting on day 10. Why does the Torah formulate that way? Elolam lechal kolaucha v'shosu b'chi malah alav akasev ki ilu hisane chi v'asiri. You eat on day 9. It's like you fasted on day 9 and day 10. So now there's a mitzvah in the Torah to eat on the ninth day of Tishrei. So and if you do so, you so you're going to get credited for having fasted on day 9, day 10. So good. So there's a chovas, there's a chova to eat on day 9. Rashi over here writes it as simply and as intuitively as I would have said. Rashi writes over here, why is there a mitzvah to eat on day 9? Because it helps you fast. So Rashi says, right, mi baile lechedetanya. No, not that. Sorry. Kola ocha v'shoser. Rashi, hachimash makra, v'inisa matisha, klamar, hitakein atzmecha b'tisha. Prepare yourself on day 9. Shetucha lisanas basar, so that you can fast on day 10. So good. So without the Torah telling me that I got to load up on day 9, you know, we would have said it as well. Good. But now, when we eat on Erev Yom Kippur, so we're fulfilling a mitzvah, at least according to this Braisa. There are other ways to formulate it in terms of why there's a mitzvah to eat on day 9, but right now, in terms of the daf, Rashi right now is going to work in terms of a working pshat of the Gemara. Acha ochlin she'ena ruhi la'achila. Let's do a little bit more this morning. Okay, eating foods that are not fit to be eaten. Amar Rav kas popole b'yom ha'kippur poter. Okay, so let's say you chew on some peppers on Yom Kippur. Peppers over here, don't think like, you know, the green, red, and orange variety. Think like peppercorns. It's like something like that. So so if you do so on Yom Kippur, you're going to be poter. Okay, that is not eating. Kas zangabila b'yom ha'kippur poter. Okay, ginger, I believe. So you go ahead and chew on some ginger. So you are also going to be potter. These are not foods. Meisvei hayu Rabbi Meir Omer mimashu shenemar varlasem arlasos peryoi neideh she'etz ma'achalhu. So when the Torah introduces us to the iser of arla, so it has a very unusual formulation. Va'arla tem arlaso es peryo. So what do you mean? Right? And I don't know that it's etz ma'achal, that the fruit is the tree is a fruit-bearing tree. So, Elam HaTamalamer, Eitz Machal. Why does the Torah say Eitz Machal? As if talking about the tree itself. So, yeah, Eitz Tam Eitz Opir Yoshava. So, HaVeyomer, Zil Pilpilin. So, look at the pepper tree. Now, I'm not really sure what we're describing right now. Pepper tree, pepper bush. I don't know. There's a variety of tree where the fruit and the tree itself are going to give off the same taste. Lam dechasha pipulin chayavim ba'arla, and that means to say that it's a fruit. It qualifies as a fruit in your chayv in the iser of arla for the first 3 years after you plant it. You can't eat from it. Vein eretz yisrael chasera klom, and eretz yisrael is not missing anything. Shenemar lo sechzer kol ba'al. Anyway, what we get from this brisa is that pipulin is a fruit. It's edible, and that goes against what we just learned together. So lo kasha habri tifta habi avishta. The Gemara says, well, we're talking about where it's really fresh and moist and then it's edible, but once it dries out, so then it's not edible. And that's the difference. Previously we were discussing about the dry variety, like ginger, right? Go and get, you know, fresh ginger. The freshest ginger in the world, they're rock solid. And, you know, you could chew on it and I don't recommend it, but if you put in addition, you soften it up, fine. Amle Ravina Lamaremar, Vamar Rav Nachman Hai Him Malta Da Asimi Be Hindu. So presumably ginger coming from India. So you know, the Indian variety. So Sharya. So it's gonna be Mutter Mavarchinala Barpriadama. So now in terms of it being mutter, right, the consideration over there, well, in other words, it's an organic product. What's the issue? So the issue is the cooking of it. Rashi says Bishule Nachriim. Right. In other words, because it could be eaten in its raw state, so it's not subject to bishul akum. Right. When we get to avodah zara, thereabouts lamed vav, lamed zayin. So we're going to be talking about the issur of bishul akum. And there are two basic haterim in the Gemara. One of them is that if it could be eaten raw, so then it's not subject to bishul akum. Right. A guy bakes an apple, so you can eat the apple raw, so it's not subject to bishul akum. Right. Peanuts as well. Right. My boiled peanut story from Georgia. Not for now, but anyway. So that's also not subject to bishul akum. So the ginger is not subject to bishul akum because it could be eaten in its raw state. And on top of that, what's a proper bracha bar pri adama? So again, it's bothersome because previously we said that if you eat ginger and Yom Kippur, you're putter. And meanwhile, over here, we're talking about how you're going to be making a bracha and it's not subject to bishul akum because you could eat it in its raw state. Again, but the Gemara's answer is going to be the same answer. Lokasha, habiri tifta, habi yavishta. So the Gemara says the difference between eating it moist versus eating it dry. So when you're eating it moist, right? So it's still fresh. It's still moist. You plucked it off while it's still, you know, while you can still squeeze it a little bit. So that's the edible type. And you're going to make a bracha and it's not subject to bishul akum. And what we're describing over here is the dry. the dry variety, where there it's just simply inedible, and you can eat it on Yom Kippur, and you're not going to be liable for Yom Kippur. Okay, stay tuned. More about eating non-foods on Yom Kippur coming up, but we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow pick it up with Tana Rabbanan. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Topic number one in today's daf, achila gasa. When you're eating and it's just, you're already full and this is just gorging. So that's not considered an achila. It provides for you an exemption on Yom Kippur, right? It's an exemptions in other arenas in halacha as well, where there's a demand for achila. So achila gasa is not considered an achila. We said it by Yom Kippur. We said it by Zara eating truma. And any time that you're eating in a non-eating format, let's say, for example, you're chewing on barley, that's also not achila. Let's say you ate regurgitated food, that's not considered an achila as well. Okay, the idea that food and drink is not going to be mitzaref. Can we take the Rabbi Yehoshua concept by tuma and say that that's us, that's our Mishnah? The Gemara says maybe, right? Possibly, but maybe not. The Mishnah, eating and drinking Yom Kippur and doing both of them results in one. In one carbon chatos, because categorically it's the same. Inui and malacha are two separate categories and two carbon chatoses. A good part of today's daf, the bulk of today's daf. Why doesn't the Torah provide for us a clear azhara not to eat on Yom Kippur? Why is it formulated in a way that is just a positive v'inisim es nafsho seichem? So first the Gemara says there's no way for the Torah to clearly articulate it. And the Gemara even tried five different ways in terms of how the Torah could have articulated. There's no way to do so. So, where is the Azhara for Inu and Yom Kippur? So, the search for the Azhara for Inu and Yom Kippur took us through the rest of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, and even to the very top of Pei Aleph Amud Beis. Then the Gemara says that when the Torah says V'inisa Masnaf Shosechem Batisha LaChodesh, sounds like that Inui is starting on day 9. How does that work exactly? So, the Gemara has two ways to explain this price. So, number one, it introduces us to the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom Kippur. And not just Tosefes Yom Kippur, but Tosefes Yontif and Tosefes Shabbos as well. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah. And if you eat on Erev Yom Kippur, it's ke'ilu like you fasted on day 9 and day 10. And finally, the last thing that we do is that we're talking about roots that are just simply, you cannot make your way through in terms of eating. And you eat them on Yom Kippur. The Gemara gave examples of peppercorns and ginger. So you're going to be pater. Now pater, does that mean mutar lagamrei? Not totally clear. Generally speaking, it's not what it means. But it's certainly not a violation of achila on Yom Kippur because these are non-edible items. There are other brises memras that sounds like ginger is something edible. Yeah, beritifta. Yeah, when it's moist, so it's edible. But if it's dry, it's simply not edible.